Blog Talk Radio. Well,
good afternoon. This is Russ.
Immediately when I started to take a look at the amount of intervention, let's say, that happened in our human history, and I was channeling this and remote viewing these ancient human history timelines, I was pissed. I was so angry. I'm like, what? No way. Like, that's not okay. Like, they can't just do that. Now, granted, we did evolve. So I went to the Galactic Federation, this is like 10 years ago, and I'm like, yo, guys, come on. Like, you have all these resources, you have all of this technology, and you didn't stop them from making us slaves for how many years? Hundreds of thousands of years? Like, what? And they always laugh at me when I get upset because it's a very human reaction, right? Like, it's like my human coming through. Yeah. And they explained to me, they said, we've been aware of every different species, civilization, being to manipulate Earth or manipulate human beings, whether it be in a physical way, energetic way. And they said, we only allow what is contracted to happen. And essentially, by saying that, they implied that everything that took place with the Anunnaki was contracted to happen because what did they do? They evolved us hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years in a matter of a short period of time. And yes, they taught us math. They taught us astrology, astronomy. They taught us sacred geometry. You know, they gave us art. They gave us a lot of stuff. And there was a really interesting point in the evolution when they were working with human beings, and they were very hesitant to allow this like species that they created to evolve on their own. And what I mean by that is they were very hesitant to allow us to breed with each other. So they actually didn't allow us to have babies for a very long time. So there was like, I think, three generations that they worked with. So generation one and generation two of their hybrid from the Neanderthals, they just, they basically didn't allow us to procreate.
Did they procreate with us?
Okay. So, yes. So because they basically wanted population control, because they knew that if they could control that, then they would be always in charge. And so what happened was by Gen 3, they were kind of sick and tired. They didn't have the resources anymore to create us one by one by hand to kind of keep the population going. So they then created the next generation, which was we were able to procreate with each other. The Anunnaki ended up falling in love with the female humans quite often, actually. And so they started to procreate with the female humans, this you know, hybrid species that they created, and they started to create babies together. And in ancient Greece, like I also went back into ancient Greek times, and they were considered the demigods, right? So the Anunnaki were considered the gods, and the creation between the gods and the humans were considered the demigods. So they weren't necessarily 20, 30 feet tall. They were more so 10 feet tall.
Okay. That's Elizabeth April, and she's been around a long, long time, and she has millions, millions of followers. So, folks, if you want to get more information on Elizabeth, she's about 28 years old, so she's been working on this since she was about, let's call it, 7. But you can see all that when you go to the Internet. Just Google Elizabeth April, and, you know, you'll see her podcast. Now, and I have with us another superstar, a young lady who's been around the industry, and she's totally aware of what's happening in terms of this whole disclosure issue. You know, the Pentagon did a soft walkout, if you will, for lack of a better term, to tell us about aliens on planet Earth and the UFOs, that maybe a couple of UFOs around. So, Stavella, hi, how are you doing today?
Blissful, joyful, grateful, successful, happy as a 2-year-old. Top that.
You are magnificent. Listen, you have such an impressive resume, a record of what you're doing. So why don't you just, for us, fill us in terms of all the things that you understand, you know, and that you have done. Would you do that for a second or two?
I would love to do that. And these things are also in my recent autobiographical performance journey, An Ordinary Earth Angel with Extraordinary Gifts. Among my many talents are bodacious bodhisattva, flamboyant clairvoyant, psychologist, philosopher, philanthropist, minister, DNA research scientist extraordinaire, classic film historian, costume designer, master statistician, luminous prophetess. The list is endless. Raconteur, 10 years as a comedian in another language, Japanese.
Wow.
50 trips around the world and enough knowledge to solve almost every problem on earth in about 3 minutes and 42 seconds.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. See, you're perfect to even run the, not only to run the country, because we needed a good president at this time, but to run the world. Now, how did you...
I love you. I love you.
How did you acquire all those skills? I mean, were you born with them? Did you have to, you know, tune in? Or, I know you're clairvoyant. Did you have to tap into the Galactic Federation? How did you acquire all
this? Oh, yeah. Well, let me...
Go ahead.
Let me the beginning.
Okay.
About 1 year old, I began to hear the voice of Albert Einstein, don't give up. Avatar is coming.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I was only one. I thought, I don't think I like planet Earth. So Albert Einstein says, don't give up. Wait, wait. And then shortly after came my greatest mentor, my sister, Mystic of the Enchanted Isles. But probably from about the time we were 5 and 6, especially me, began to hear voices from the other side, mostly children saying, you're in our group. None of us are ever going to have children. We're going to serve the world as mother, father to the universe. Pay attention to everything around you. And of course, I said, Mother, am I schizophrenic? She said, no, you're a mystic. You're an avatar. Write everything down. Mm. And then my sister and I asked her if we could go to every church within 100 miles, except not to her church, because that was the one where if you didn't belong to her church, you weren't going to go to heaven. So we went to all the other ones.
Mm.
And we began to study religion, philosophy, psychology. My father and mother were very tuned in, and they were science fiction addicts. Isaac Asimov, Ray Bradbury, all the great writers, Verne and Wells, were just a standard part of the daily conversations. And then I get, this was around early 30s, and when we started to see the movies like War of the Worlds and The Day the Earth Stood Still, then we started to get telepathic messages from beings from other worlds, as well as great artists and writers and actors and philosophers. And our father insisted that we read books like Psycho, Cybernetics, Think and Grow Rich, As a Man Thinketh, et cetera, et cetera. They always told us that wealth of knowledge to our destinies, and that's just what has happened. So by being sober, awake, aware, observant of every moment, exquisitely tuned into the present moment, and being raised in New Orleans where the phenomenon of extraterrestrials was not news to anyone, it has been a fascinating journey. And from, I guess from about the age 3, 4, 5, 6, we started to observe craft, get messages from Lemuria, Atlantis, Pangaea, Anunnaki. Of course, as a matter of fact, one of my new comedy routines is, ha, I'm tipsy, the gypsy fortune teller. And my program is sponsored by On. Lucky.
Wow, wow. So what April was talking about the Anunnaki coming to planet Earth from Nibiru, I believe she said, to create us, because they came for the gold. The goal of not to spin, but the goal to fix the atmosphere on their planet because they were having some difficulties. So you know all about that. I mean, do you?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel there are many schools of thought on these subjects.
Okay.
The greatest thing that a thinker can do is to go into some kind of a heavenly meditation now and then and see what they're able to perceive from the all that is, the streams of consciousness, which are all around us. And by having an open mind and heart and a true desire to improve our planet and our universe, there is no limit to what even a single person can do to assist in this process.
Well, we seem to have some difficulties right now. I mean, a lot of conflict and hate and people getting angry at each other, no real serious conversations. And light of trying to discern what's a good construct for all of us to live by. Well, how do you think that's going to pan out in the next 5, 10, 15 years? Where are we going after all of this conflict?
I really believe that the light workers, the metaphysicians, the star seeds, the hybrids, the angels, the merfairies, the elementals, there's a huge presence now, stronger than ever in history. Maybe the last time it was quite this strong and powerful was the Egyptian dynasty period, but I must say that I and my Mystic of the Enchanted Isle sisters, 50 years ago, created something to facilitate these positive changes. It's so simple, a 5-year-old can do it. So I'm not going to elaborate too much on the details, but I'm going to give you just a quick overview of it. We call it Heavenyms, H-E-A-V-E-N-Y-M-S, Heavenyms. And we've been teaching it for about 50 years. And what it does is by restructuring and reprogramming and activating DNA, the words that people use become words for positive change. For instance, we never say the word H-A-T-E. We never say the word A-N-G-E-R. We say something like less than loving, not peaceful. So what immediately happens when someone learns the technique of altering their words to say and express only what they most exactly wish to create? Quantum changes begin happening in their own cellular universe, and then their words have a much, much, much more positive effect on those around them. So this, to me, it's so simple. It's the key. It was given to us by the all that is, the stream of consciousness. And I want to give you an example so you'll understand. I have a bunch of children who study under me, and when they say I'm having a panic attack, I say, no, that's called a pancake attack in our language. I'm having a pancake. Instantly, the panic is evaporated into nothingness. There is no more panic. Suddenly, they've found a word that triggers nothing but happy sensations. And usually, these kids, after a short time, have their moods under control in a way that their parents find exhilarating. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. And anybody who wants more on this can find me at info@countessnadiastarella.com. info@countessnadiastarella.com. Now, isn't that fascinating? And the funny thing is, I think I intimately know a million people. Probably about 1,000 have truly embraced the concept of speaking only what you want. And those people have everything they ever could have dreamed. And they have positions around the universe where they're making a difference. Most people hear it and go, well, I don't think I can do that. It's too hard. It's too hard to change the entire world with a couple of words. No, I could teach so easy, but people are rather programmed to stay stuck in their unhealthy habits, especially the words they say. So I'm begging you, never say that word H-A-T-E again. Never say that word A-N-G-E-R. Say, well, they're not as loving as they should be, or they're not as peaceful as they should be. Once you get the hang of it, you will roll on the floor laughing that you ever thought that unkind, unpositive words could have done one thing to make this planet better. They can't. That's where we're stuck. This, in my opinion, is the missing link to the all that is, to the reformations that we deserve and need right now.
Oh, of course we need them now. But let's take a city for instance. Let's take Baltimore. I think, if I may, be correct on this, and I stand to be corrected, but I think they have the highest rate of killing of one ethnic. You know,
stop! Stop! You used the wrong word. What you want to say?
Right.
They respect human life the lowest, the least.
Okay.
They don't respect human life.
I see.
And that's true. That's true. And what is your question? How are we going to make that city better?
Yes.
All right. Probably the first step, and many cities are embracing it, is they have to get the law into ecology of reform. When I lived in Japan, everything is so safe. There's only about one incident with a piece of, I don't know what you call it, a weapon, so a year. And there's a sense there that everybody is brother and sister, which we haven't quite created that yet. But if law enforcement knows more about psychology, lives in the cities that they patrol, some empathy will come. And then, of course, we've got to get children to understand that they're the young mediators. They have a way of transforming even the heart of someone who is not particularly respectful to humans. So each person who wants this to change and who lives near there has to really get on board. But it can be done. And right now, because we have political unrest and we have rather a lack of common sense in many places, of course, the thinkers with love and kindness and compassion and patience can shine their heavenly light on those whose hearts are not particularly respectful or peaceful. It's, you know, it can start with just a handful of people, but if the wheels are in motion, there are a number of cities, even my city, even New Orleans, even Detroit, not what I would call the safest, most peaceful places in the universe, but at least the awareness now seems to be making some shift.
Okay. Massively. You think massively that's happening all across the broad spectrum of this country and the world? Do you believe?
I really do.
Okay. All right.
I really do, even though on the surface, because the news is usually not particularly positive, I even thought about that. I think I'll make a news channel with nothing but good stuff.
That would be good.
It is. It is happening. It's happening. And all of us, by radiating a positive, aware, awakened, enlightened aura, can do much more than we ever dreamed possible, because your energy is carrying your messages.
Mm-hmm.
And it has an effect even on rather tough souls.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned children. How about the Indigo children, who were, many of whom were conceived on spaceships? Are they coming?
Yeah, okay, we have the Indigos. We have the Indigos,
crystal,
the rainbows,
crystals.
The crystals,
right.
The Blu-rays.
Right.
What was your question? Are they going to help us?
Yes, I mean, some of them are still on various ships. And they'll be coming
yes.
to the earth. How are they going to integrate themselves, if you will, and how are they going to help change the constructs that we think as we are challenged about how we all can get together and be happy and loving and free and care about each other? How do you think they're going to do that?
Many, many believers think they are already here as walkers.
Oh, I see.
That they are integrated into our structure, our physical structures, and they're spreading their messages. And all you have to do is look at the happy sides on social media. You will see thousands of posts about love and forgiveness and compassion and enlightenment and meditation and study. It's unbelievable how like-minded souls are finding themselves on social media. Mm-hmm. So I really think ships have been visiting here for many thousands of years and for quite some time thought it's still too primitive for us to really intervene, except to occasionally send our light bearers down there in human form, like avatars and bodhisattvas and gurus and wonderful life-enhancing entities. They're here. They've been seen. The sightings in Florida are off the charts. They're all over the world. Now it's just a matter of how much do we want to understand, believe, and participate?
Mm-hmm. Here's another construct. The Pentagon has said recently that the little tic-tacs are flying around, that there are possibilities that they don't know what they are, which is, you know, not quite true. But then they are saying that there may be other species coming to this planet for whatever reason. And how do you see that? I mean, that's a soft disclosure piece. Is that right? How about the real story of what's happening in the universe? Could you tell us what you know about other entities, be it the reptilians, the greys, the blue avians, or whomever, the Palladians? Do you know, have you met any of these? Have you discussed anything with some of these people, these entities?
Yes, and these topics vary wildly and often are connected to what is inside your own soul. So I would never allow myself to use that word, reptilian, because it has such an unpositive connotation. But an easy way to understand it is, just like the zoo, there might be some donkeys and snakes and alligators in the zoo, but if you're a winged creature, if you're a seagull or a peacock or a swan, you will congregate with the ones you resonate with. I am a light worker. I only have encounters with light worker beings. So I see frequently that the most unhappy, most disgruntled, most wishing to judge others closely align themselves with the reptilian and any of the dark entities. But the light workers can choose to acknowledge them or to keep them at bay. Just like if a light worker goes into a neighborhood which is not particularly safe, by their own thoughts. So I wouldn't want to say exactly what is real, although for me, the most common encounters are Pleiadians, Arcturians, Orionids, those from my own area of Eagle Nebula. You know, these are gentle, loving, gorgeous, amazing, bright entities that find their compatriots here and bond with them. The darker entities, I think the light workers are making a conscious choice to not allow them to do anything that is not positive and uplifting on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. We have that ability to keep them under control, not allow them to think that they can do anything. There's nothing they can do that's really any less good than what humans have already done to humans. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard for a foreign entity to top that. So it's just like religions. You choose the one that you resonate with, your version of God and universe, your version of visitors and universe.
Okay. As a clairvoyant, what do you see for the next 5 years? What do you see coming to planet Earth? What do you think?
I got the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. All I ever see is rainbows, fairy tales, unicorns, equality, justice, clean air, clean water, advocates for every part. Well, for over 100 years, we've had more than enough money and funds and resources to make the planet pristine, clean, and to have every single person with a home and food and shelter. Now, this is the time where if we want to get these things in place and protect planet Earth's atmosphere, which is very delicate right now, all great light workers have to make a commitment to getting this news out there and being a part of the change. I really think the next 100 years could be the best 100 years. If we look at the designs of Tesla and Buckminster Fuller and Einstein and Newton and Galileo and Da Vinci, all we have to do is take what we have and find a way to keep that little holy group at the top holding the money strings some way so that they'll feel enoughness, because this is one of the things. They always feel, no matter how many billions there are, they just don't have enough. They don't have enough for there to be equality in food and housing and clothing and clean water. We're all working on that.
All right. Working how? How are we going to change that? I mean, that seems to be embedded in the construct of the political, economic, social, you know, spiritual systems of the world. It seems like it's you can't just take it out at random.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Okay.
But quantum leaps can happen, and they're already happening. They're happening because, well, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
A close friend of mine who was a nuclear propagator. He sold nuclear systems. All of a sudden realized, oh, my God, I'm on the wrong track. I'm going to become environmentalist. And now he speaks all around the world about how to change to cleaner energy. The awakenings that happen in each individual that gives them the power and the courage to get out there and go on their sandbox to preach is unbelievable right now. Mm. Many, many, many great souls. Now, we can't completely rock the boat all of a sudden, but the more people understand critical thinking, the more they make choices which are socioeconomically friendly to the great human population instead of to a handful at the top, the more easily we facilitate positive changes.
Mm-hmm. I always go back to the Bible. It says Ephesians 6:12. There will be a challenge with principalities. That's just evil and bad, if you will. But
You said the E word. You said the E word.
Well, okay.
Less than wonderful. Less than perfect.
All right. So you think that all species will be able to coalesce and get along with each other on planet Earth? And how long will that take?
Well, let's put it this way. This, you know, nobody can predict the exact amount of time.
True.
However,
okay.
There are going to be entities that don't want to be on Earth. They want to go to their own planet where they can not respect each other. They'll do that. They'll go, you know what, Earth is just too doggone namby-pamby innocent and nice now. Let's just go somewhere and do Star Wars.
Okay.
So not all of them are going to stay here.
Okay. Where do you think, you've been around a long time. And you've been really involved with the light workers. How did you recognize the light workers when you first approached, when they first approached you? How did you recognize?
Because they all seemed happy, playful, content,
I see.
And perfectly tuned in to the present moment.
So it's a matter of attitude.
Yes, gratitude, attitude, and huge flames, purple flames of gratitude all around them.
Okay. What would you advise most people to do who are coming to the awareness that they may be another kind of entity in the universe besides themselves, that they haven't been accustomed to seeing? How does one take that? What kind of adjustment do you have to do?
You have to do is remember your favorite movies. Focus on your favorites, like the very first, The Day the Earth Stood Still,
yeah.
Klaatu, Barada Mito. Focus on the good things that these entities can do and are trying to do. Keep an open mind. Look at it as though a script is being written, how much you choose to participate. But you should certainly never have any insecurity, no F-E-A-R. That's ridiculous. How you want to have a loving, embracing feeling about them just as if they were of another race on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
There are many races on Earth that don't even understand or know each other, that think they're each from outer worlds. Be open-minded, be loving, be friendly. Listen to any wisdom they try to impart to you in person or telepathically, and use good judgment to be receptive.
Mm-hmm. How about remote viewing? Are you able to do any of that? Do you know anybody who have those capabilities?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. Many light workers have some gifts in this field. There are not that many, though. There are a handful, because there are so many things happening all at once right now on planet Earth. So those who are gifted in that field have an ability to concentrate. I wouldn't say there are huge percentages of correctness, but there are often glimpses of wisdom and knowledge there. So seek out the people that you trust to help you with all sorts of paranormal and metaphysical things.
Okay. How many times have you been born here on Earth? Have you
9,036 years of past lives, my friend. I never translated exactly into how many times, but I guess it would be every 100 years. So if we put 100 into the 9,000, that's a lot.
All right. Why do you keep coming back and back and back and back? If when you leave, look, we've been told, people who go to church, you know, AME Church, Baptist, Mormon, that, you know, once you die, that's it. You go to heaven, you go to hell. How do you see changing those constructs with people's minds to tell them that they happen to be a spirit who happened to have come to Earth for whatever purpose, reason, goal, objective, to accomplish something? How do you tell them that? And then when they leave, they can go back again and come back again. How do you transfer the fear of death, and I said fear, or the to think about being an eternal being? How do you transfer that? Because we
all
been
right,
programmed.
Here is the deal.
We all have been programmed.
You
now.
Have, yes.
Right.
One must meet others where they live. One must see what level of ability to accept these things another person is at. Over proselytizing and over trying to convince someone doesn't usually work. People come to the knowledge of facts like this as their souls are ready to accept changes. And force them. We can state our opinions if we think they're not going to laugh us off the planet when we do. And there are many, many people of all species and all universal origins who absolutely believe there is no such thing in the whole wide world as H-E-L-L-L, except the one that you create for yourself. By keeping many souls from thinking about their own purity and being insecure about the opposite of heaven, wow, that takes time to change that. But we're on our way. We're on our way. The numbers of souls who are ready to embrace other disciplines is rising. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's a good message. And you did also mention early on that you have been delving into the thinking of the positive principles of self-development, like Napoleon Hill and Maxwell Maltz and all.
Oh, yeah.
So people should be concentrating and reading and delving into those books, be it audio or reading?
Well, you're guided to things that can help you.
Okay.
But the one thing that's easiest, even easier than reading books, is just consciously saying, I'm going to speak into existence what I want to create, not what I'm insecure about, not what doesn't work for me, not what's good, not good for the planet. I'm going to start using my words, just like The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale is a very great book for any kid starting from six on. But the word of positive speaking is about 500 billion times more powerful. The thoughts, interesting, but the spoken word becomes the law.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that.
Right. So thinking, grow rich, Abraham.
Yeah.
And Esther,
yep.
And all of those, you've been through,
yep,
those materials.
The secret, all, yeah. There's only one thing missing from every single one of them.
What?
Nobody's speaking the words. Nobody is using the principle of heavenims. Not a, well, I only know a few people, you know, who are doing it. They talk, they think, and then they go right back to saying, you know what I can't stand, blah, 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 blah. And then they talk about everything they don't want. And that's exactly what they get. Until they get to the point where they go, there's a way to get a whole lot more of what I want to manifest the good things. I see it. I was taught by Countess Nadia Starella the principle of posnims and heavenims. And now that I use them, transform the soul.
Right. The thing that you would leave us with is what? What would you leave us with? In terms of
the greatest saying that I use every day in my best Indian accent. Life is a meaningless flow of energy with no particular purpose except having fun. If you're not having fun, you had better reassess all your priorities, because really, it's about joy and laughter and fun. That's the real goal of life on Earth.
So, when you said you went to Japan, did you spend time around Tokyo or Nagasaki? Where did you go? All
cities. I went all up and down, probably 100 cities. Loved every second of it. Had a past life there. Began speaking Japanese in 2 days. I went, oh, my God, I've been here before. No wonder this is so easy.
I see.
Loved it.
That's, you say you learned in 2 days? Is that what I hear?
It took me about 2 days to talk like a two-year-old. And then as time progressed, it got easier and easier to talk like a five-year-old, a seven-year-old, an eight-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
It just filtered right in. Though I've been around the world 50 times and lived in many, many countries, but Japanese was the easiest because I had a good memory of the past life there.
So you were, in one of your lifetimes, you were incarnated.
Oh, yeah.
As a Japanese person.
Oh, yeah.
And again,
a Japanese, an Italian, a Frenchman, an Icelandic, a leader from Atlantis, many, many, many past lives all over the place.
Okay. Why do you keep coming back then to the Earth? I mean, it's a vast universe. There are billions and hundreds of billions and trillions of planets out there and entities. Why keep coming back here?
Earth needed the most help, but this is my final earthly reincarnation.
Oh, I see.
That's why I'm happy to get my messages out there for the time I have left.
You think then when you finish with this, you will go where? Where do you think you will go?
Eagle Nebula.
Okay.
Eagle Nebula, no question. My original homeland.
Okay. Some people say they were from Andromeda. They were going back to that. Have you been in that area of the universe, that segment of the
galaxy? Yes, yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yes, and it's fascinating, and I love it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. I mean, there's so much coming to the fore, and I'm not going to hold you in. We said 5 or 6 minutes. But when all the disclosure will be happening, whether it be by Billy Carson, I know you know him, or Dr. Stephen Greer, you know him,
I love him. Stephen.
Well, describe him for the people who don't know Stephen Greer. What has he done?
I don't know if you could describe him, except in this way. He has expanded consciousness about things that a lot of people were nervous about acknowledging.
Okay.
He's brought some new light. You know, he has his detractors. He has his supporters, like all great entities. People gravitate to souls that they resonate with. So watch a few things from all kinds of people, because great leaders from everywhere will be sharing truths with us. It's up to us to decide which ones we resonate with and want to embrace.
Mm-hmm. Well, he just finished the Unacknowledged. I don't know. That was a documentary that 700 million people have watched. And his last one that he just completed, when he had the big press conference at the National Press Club in June 11th, 12th, and 13th. That was the Lost Century, where he really laid out, for the people who have not watched that, he laid out the essence of his 35-year research and trying to find out.
Wow.
Yeah, 35 years he's been working on this. About
amazing.
What's been hidden from us in terms of coming out of the Roswell incident, or the flyover of Las Vegas in 1942, by the way, or bringing the Germans here, you know, all the scientists, von Braun and all the rest of them, thousands and thousands of them after the Second World War, bringing them here to work on, you know, or even observing the Germans down in Antarctica. So what do you think is an Antarctica? And I'll just close it down. What do you think is an Antarctica? That's a mystery for a lot of people. Now, what's his name? Michael Seller, Dr. Michael Seller, has done a lot of research, and he put out a couple books about Antarctica. So if you want to Google that for the people who want to do research, what do you think is happening in Antarctica?
Just too many penguins. Just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Mm-hmm.
That is just one place I have not spent a lot of time looking
okay.
at, but
okay.
I'm going to investigate. I'm not sure exactly what's there. You know, people have varying opinions about all kinds of things on Earth, and that's good. It leads to analysis, interaction, and discovery. So let's make our lives an adventure to discover what we need to know to make planet and universe more magnificent.
Okay. You do a lot of work each and every day. What is your day like? I mean, what is your month like, your week like, your year like? What as you...
From noon, 4 a.m. every day, I enlighten souls in various venues. Phone readings and live video chat and all ways to get to people who need answers and quick solutions. I'm around, you know, I've been at this for about 50 years. I dress up every night and go into these wonderful chat rooms or have people find me. You know, people find me through all my years out there, often through referrals or sometimes from TV radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I make friends for life. I have an astonishing group of wonderful devotees. I feel like the luckiest woman who ever lived.
Okay. Do you do a podcast?
I have worked on a few, but I'm just exploring it.
Okay.
I worked on one called Physics for Psychics.
Okay.
And another one I've been working on about AI, but I think that's probably something I need to do soon.
Okay, okay. But you normally people invite you to be on their podcast or television or radio station.
Yes.
Or even just
yes.
seminars for groups of people. So
yes.
anyone who – and do you still do readings?
Absolutely. Hundreds a day. Oh, my God, yes.
So how would a person get a reading from you?
They should leave a message on my phone, 772-HOT-HOT-1, 772-468-4681.
Okay, well,
772-468-4681.
And I really appreciate you being here to give us that kind of information.
God bless you.
Yeah, and thank you.
I love you, darling.
And anything you would leave, have us do for the rest of our lives, anything that you would suggest, since you've been here many, 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 many times, in and out, most of us, some of us are brand new to this planet. Would you believe that?
I know. I know. I think it's fascinating.
Okay. So
fascinating.
We're a little more confused than you are. See, you are grounded since you've been here a number of times over and over and over again. So for the newbies, if you will allow the term, what would you have us do?
I want you to remember that many, many hundreds of people who run across you will think of you this way, and this will boost your confidence. Let's see. And when the angels ask me to recall the thrill of them all, then I shall tell them I remember you. Understand that you are loved, sometimes from entities that haven't even met you yet, loved and accepted and embraced and appreciated, and let your confidence in your mission soar.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Well, the good news is that you're here. And the great news is that you're still here to help us ascend. Oh, and speaking of the last question, ascension, we are now at third level, third degree, third world.
Oh, it's not just, it's pockets of varying levels of.
Okay.
There, you can't just put a category. It depends on your state of consciousness.
Uh-huh. So we should be working on that incessantly, constantly.
Well, don't wear yourself out doing it. Allow the bounty of the universe to guide you to new heights.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. And we'll see you next time right here on Blog Talk.
Thank you, and love and infinite blessings to all who enter this holy space.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We have had words of wisdom from a person who has been here a number of times. And so for those entities who are first-timers, if you will, we have learned a good lesson of being positive, think positive, and speak good of everyone, and speak in positive terms. So what can I say? We've been blessed and fortunate to have had somebody to come and share that with us. Have a good one. Have a good night, and thank you again. Bye now. Blog Talk Radio. Out. Okay. You still there?